Welcome to Design Downtime, the podcast where we celebrate the joys of living a balanced creative life. I'm your host, Guy Siegel, a design director in Toronto, Canada, and I invite you to join me on this journey as we redefine what it means to be a successful design professional. Let's break free from the shackles of hustle culture and embrace the full spectrum of human experience, because life is too precious to be spent only in pursuit of productivity. Today, I'm excited to talk to Vitaly Friedman. Vitaly loves beautiful content and does not give up easily. Born in Minsk, Belarus, he studied computer science and mathematics in Germany. While writing algebra proofs and preparing for software engineering at nights in the kitchen, at the same time he discovered passion for typography, interface design, and writing. After working as a freelance designer and developer for 6 years, he co-founded Smashing Magazine back in 2006, a leading online magazine for designers and developers. His curiosity drove him from interface design to front-end to performance optimization to accessibility and back to user experience over all the years. Vitaly is the author, co-author, and editor of Smashing Books and a curator of Smashing Conferences. He is the UX lead with the European Parliament and Smashing Magazine and front-end UX consultant in Europe and abroad, working with large and small companies and organizations like Haufe Lexware, Axel Springer, and others. He also runs Measure UX and Smart Interface Design Patterns, friendly video courses on UX and design patterns, along with a live UX training for passionate UX and product designers. Vitaly, welcome to the show.
Oh, wow. This has been a pleasure to be here. I mean, it's so incredible to just be a part of this wonderful thing that you have kind of going on here. We need a bit of downtime, I think, at this point.
Absolutely. I think every day we feel more and more that we need that. And today you wanted to talk to us about techno music.
Oh, yes. Yes. Never ever ask me. So that's about time. Yes, I think for the last, I would say like 20, 25 years, I've been going through all kind of reincarnations and developments and explorations and discoveries in terms of techno music. So I think that there is so much to discover. I don't even know where to start. But this has been very defining, I would say, in many ways, the way of how I'm working, because how I'm exploring, and it's all somehow connected. I mean, as I was preparing for this, I was thinking, where did it come from? I mean, I'm sure that guy will eventually just come up with something like that, a question like that. I just couldn't point to that. And I think I have a little bit of a story that guides me to where I am and where I ended up. And throughout it, I think the techno music in one way or the other, in one incarnation or another, has been a very pivotal, very major part of it. And like for many people, music is something that brings them forward, that fuels them, that brings them energy, that gives them, I don't know, a rhythm in life, I think, not just in, you know, in flow, but really rhythm in life. And this has been my story for sure.
As you mentioned, I usually like to start with the origin story, right? Like, where did you get to that? You said that it's been 20, 25 years of you being in techno.
That's right.
Do you remember how that happened?
Yeah, I think for me, the most significant part was the music on its own, I would say. This is like all started when I was listening to tapes. I think my father has always played Queens, right? The Queen, right? And it's always been a story. I mean, every single weekend or so, I would listen to Queen songs and all of that. And it felt like I liked the music and liked the way, but it's maybe not quite what I was looking for. And I was maybe just tired of it and I started exploring. And eventually, of course, there was all the pop music around. And I think there were two defining moments for me. One of them was, I think, when, you know, I was born in 1985. So I would say maybe around the age of 7 or 8, I somehow got into a tape. Like it was literally a tape or kind of really bad quality recording or something of Prodigy. And at the time, Prodigy felt for me like, wow, this is so weird. This is just so, it's almost the opposite of what my father actually told me to like in a way, right? And I just couldn't stop listening to it. It was so weird and so confusing. And I vividly remember that I, you know, it was, I think, Space Invader at the time when I was listening to it. And that really kept following, you know, year after year after year. I kept coming back, kept coming back. And I think this also was, you know, the big time Scooter and all of that, but I didn't like Scooter. Sorry for everybody who is like a big fan of Scooters over here. Scooter, I really didn't like it. It felt like it's a bit fake. It's a little bit, I want the melody and all of that. And I think that this really was sort of the beginning, right? This was the one side. And I also remember, you know, sometimes it says just little moments in your life, in your childhood that you just remember. Somehow, you know, I was looking for a present and I was really annoying to my parents. And I said, I don't want the book. I want the cassette. And they're like, oh my God, this cassette. Okay, so what do you want? And so I, of course, went on to like a market and had all this kind of cassettes. And I would just listen to all kind of things. Things I hated, things I loved, things I found extremely annoying and very confusing. And it all was in English, in language I didn't understand anyway. So I was like, I don't know how my, maybe 13, 15 years old or so. I had no idea. I didn't speak proper English at all. And it was all very confusing. It was just basically sound with some text in it, which I couldn't understand. And then I found this really weird thing that I asked my parents for. And I was really looking for it for like, I think, 3 hours to understand what was that, because I totally forgot about it. I didn't know who the artist was and anything like that. But that cassette changed everything. And this was Mark O. I don't even know if this is any famous at all. Apparently, it was a German DJ back in the time. And this was, I don't know, it was like Tears Don't Lie and things like that. And this was so weird. And I don't even know if I like it today. But Prodigy first, and then maybe a year later, this, that really has changed things for me, because it got me into this kind of weird, almost, I think at the time I felt like it's magical. It's not like techno, hardcore kind of thing, but it's more like a magical sound that is a little bit different from what I'm used to. And this was, I think, the beginning of my journey, which is something I really had to look up, because I really couldn't point, if you asked me, let's say, a week ago.
That's interesting. So you discovered this thing that really opened you up to this type of music. Where did you go from there? Was it easy to continue that journey?
Oh, God, I think for me, this is always the same story throughout my entire life. When I start liking things, oh, I am exploring all of it. I want to take all of it. I want to swim and I want to go left and right because, you know, I'm Aquarius. So I really like swimming and I really want to swim in this whole ocean, explore all the islands and everything that's in there. So I was navigating, I was just listening to everything. It's so strange, like sometimes my wife and I are walking and, you know, you have a shopping mall and there is a song playing. Just relatively, you know, not famous necessarily, but like one of those songs from, I don't know, 1990s or so. And I can tell immediately who that was and I could tell immediately what album it came from and things like that. It was so strange because I think at the time, like in 90s or maybe, you know, late 90s or so, I was so obsessed by just exploring. I would explore everything, and I would explore everything that not even techno music. I mean, I would be obsessed about Alphaville. I would be obsessed about Scooter as well. I would be obsessed about Roxette, and I would be obsessed about The Corrs, right? And like all the different things, because I discovered like something that I liked, and I wanted to discover everything else that I might like as well, right? And so that really brought me into this adventure, and I would listen to everything. Like everything. I think that between 1994 or so, 2001, 2, 3 or so, I would listen to absolutely everything. So I think this is also why I can always tell apart like Cranberries, from which album that came and all of that. And I don't even know why. I just seem like the same happened to me, although in terms of movies, by the way. I felt like I need to know the obscure indie movies. I need to know them really well. And so I watched everything. I think maybe I had more time back then. I don't know. But it feels like I really spent a lot of time into this. And so eventually, of course, you know, when I started doing some web stuff and all, and I started working because I was studying computer science and mathematics when I was kind of at the peak of all these explorations, I just needed something that would bring me in flow, I guess. This is just something that I wanted to do. And so in some way, the music, the discovery of music. And I really remember, guy, it was so weird. I remember sitting in the kitchen and I had to prepare for the exam, for a math exam. And I was very scared of that. And instead of kind of learning and preparing for that, I was, I think, choosing music for like 3 hours before that, just to get in the mode of learning. And so then I would spend the entire, literally night learning something. And this would kind of repeating itself, maybe, you know, a couple of days or a couple of weeks even, because music is really, really felt important. And then once I got into that and I learned that music can give me joy, but also I think calmness, I think this is something that is almost shields me away from all the things that are happening in the world. Somehow I feel like maybe even safer when I'm within music in some way. And then of course the notion of the flow and the notion of the kind of energy and everything that kind of really pulls you forward somehow. And that always helped. And so from there on, it was just kept exploring, and then concerts and then festivals and all of that. So I think overall, when I look back at this, it was just such an important part of my life, which I think a lot of us maybe don't even notice. It just, you know, we're listening to some music on our Spotify playlist, right? But I'm very deliberate. These days, I'm very deliberate in almost forcing myself to discover more. Because sometimes you get to the habit of, well, I have a couple of bands that I like, and so I'm going to listen to those bands and all. I encounter a lot of things that I really don't like. And ironically, I also discover a lot of AI music that I somehow like. And it's a bit weird in a way. And at this point, sometimes I still can't tell apart if it's the, you know, AI generated or not music. I'm not sure if I'm wrong or if I'm right. I just keep exploring. It's like become a part of what I have to do to still not be stuck somehow, if it makes sense.
I want to go back a bit. You discovered this style of music. You discovered it in the 90s, right? Mid, late 90s. These days, when you discover a new band, it's the easiest thing in the world to go and listen to everything they ever put out. Back then, for those of us who are a bit younger, we couldn't do that. How did you start your discovery journey?
Oh, well, there was a, you know, I was growing up in Belarus, and my parents brought me to Germany when I was 16 in the year 2000. And so I would go to the market, and they would always, you know, allow you to play some things. And I would stay there under rain. I remember it under rain for 6-7 hours, just listening to everything one by one. I had no idea about any of the artists there. I had no idea about what style they have. There was, of course, somebody who would recommend me to, you should listen to this, listen to that. And I would. And there would be one of those annoying kids who would just stick around for a long time, coming back the next day to do the same thing and never buying anything. That was pretty much me, because we didn't have really much money back then. But I think this was sort of the exploration for me when it all started. But then, of course, there was the time where all of a sudden they could get MP3s on the internet, which was quite nice on a song. And then, of course, we have had a Napster moment. And then we have the after Napster moment, where we realized that it's not a good idea to do something like Napster. And so I just kept really going through whatever I can find. And also, of course, friends, right? Finding people who are kind of carry this momentum with you as well. And we would exchange things all the time too. But it took me quite a while to find what I actually really liked. Where I would say this, I mean, because I think that one thing that we all often underestimate is that to me, music is not just something that you have in the background, which kind of makes you feel better or anything like that. I would say that there are maybe just a few artists who also went through a lot of transformations, where I would say, when I'm listening to the music, I'm not just listening to the music. I can almost sense just how much craft and passion, and I would say not perfectionism, but just true, genuine ambition and also passion, I would say, went into putting this together and making it just the way it is, right? And so it's not just about songs, it's also the live mixes, the DJs and so on. And when I discovered that, I mean, this is a very strong moment for me, because sometimes I would actually cry, because I feel that this moment, this thing that they created, right, which really has not just enormous energy, it might feel like it's the most, you know, some people would even say that techno music is just almost dead music. You just have a beat and that's all you've got, right? But I can almost sense that there is just an enormous level of, you know, all those things that I mentioned before that really comes together in a piece that is almost like a masterpiece to me. And this is why I sometimes would find myself listening to some live sets or tracks from, you know, from an artist that were recorded just in one specific festival in, you know, 2021. Everything else I don't really listen to somehow. And if something new comes up, then I'm very critical because I have my favorite now. And then I still need to explore and find new artists, of course, as well. But just to give you kind of an idea about that, I remember back in maybe 2019 or 18, maybe even earlier than that, I found Amelie Lens. Amelie Lens is a Belgian techno artist. She's a teacher in Belgium. And I went into the concert that she was running, and it was like an all night long Amelie Lens. So she would be playing 8 hours or 9 hours nonstop. I just couldn't believe that level of commitment to do good work. And I don't mean it on a level of, well, this sounds very ambitious and this sounds very fancy. No. It was just an enormous level of just desire and commitment to do really good work, to create something that people will remember and create an emotional feeling within people. And this was such a changing moment for me. I mean, I would say that I was there for maybe 4 hours. It was just incredible. And then, of course, we had COVID moment. And I remember listening to the Exit Festival. There is a live session by Emily Lanz there from it, from 2021. I think it's by far the best single session track where everything just fits beautifully together, right? I guess after COVID, we all wanted to do something like this, right? And this was so impressive to me, just so impressive to me. So I keep coming back to that as well. And also, as I'm speaking about this, I think there is also another thing that really always brings memories back. And that's Voracles. Voracles, I mean, maybe Voracles is not that well known compared to maybe some big, you know, DJs like David Guetta and so on. Although I have a lot of respect for David Guetta, just what he does as a DJ is incredible. I might not like the music, but just what he does with the music when he mixes it, it's unbelievable. So I have a lot of appreciation for the craft here as well. But with Voracles, it's different. Voracles has this really melodic techno music, which makes you feel like it's really so beautiful. It's almost like violin in techno, which is beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And then he went even further. And I think in the last couple of years, he started doing this Voracles orchestra, which is basically like mixing literally classical music with orchestra together with the techno music or electronic music, rather, I would say. And this was, again, another moment when I thought, wow, this is just so beautiful. Just so beautiful. And so those two things, I guess, those two artists, I think, are always in my toolbox, right? But I'm always exploring other things as well, of course.
You mentioned this was not techno, this was electronic music, though. And I don't want to get too much into the definitions, but for you, what is kind of like the border around techno music that separates it from house or trance or those kind of other types of genres within electronic music?
Yeah, so I would say that when I had to describe what I personally liked, right? Because I have to describe what I liked in order to find what I liked, right? When I'm looking for something, it would be always melodic, it would be always minimal. It would be almost like a Berlin style. It's very hard to say, there is no Berlin style, I guess. But it was kind of like the minimalism that you will often find. And so when I look at the electronic music, it doesn't have to be that sort of thing. It doesn't have to be minimal, but it can be very beautiful and melodic, right? But at the same time, I'm not really into things that are like EDM or something like that. This is just not necessarily what brings me that energy, because I really want to find something, I don't know, honest and elegant maybe, or something like that in the music, even although it might be very strong bass and all of that. I think there is still a lot of creativity that can be around that. So for me, I guess the techno music is something that would be more along the side of really being maybe, I mean, at least to me, because I'm, as you can see, I'm not a music expert by any means, but it would be more minimal. It would be more bassy, if you like, and more structured maybe, while melodic music is always going all of the tangents and explores and diverges, almost like classical music would do as well.
You said that a big push for you to explore and discover more techno music happened when you moved from Belarus to Berlin. What role did music and techno play in you becoming German, meeting people and becoming accepted into the community?
Yeah, I would say that I was always very surprised by some things around German music. Like, for example, I remember at some point also when I moved, the first thing I listened to was Kraftwerk. Kraftwerk from 1970s. And I was like, really? This is a little bit different from what I was expecting, right? And I kind of found a lot of cultural references to Kraftwerk. I found a lot of cultural references to techno music in general. I was not living in Berlin back then, but I was, you know, I would travel to Berlin many times. And every now and again, I would, of course, go to, you know, explore what is happening in the nightlife and all that. And I would find remarkably unique people, unique artists, unique DJs, unique music also in some way. This felt really so weird to me, because I thought that you can just find music everywhere. But I think that if you actually are in this world, in this universe of techno music, then it feels much, much different. This probably explains why I'm, of course, now in Berlin, although I have to admit that I don't go to nightclubs anymore, right? But I would say that just the notion of, you know, looking at, you know, sometimes it's just little things. It's just, you see a poster next to, one of the techno clubs here, and you say, oh, okay, I'm going to take a note and maybe listen to it and check up. Maybe there is like a live, like a stream, or there is a set on YouTube or anywhere else. This is kind of how I discover it. This would be also the way of how I discover websites, by the way. I just go to random places, and then whenever I see, like, say, a new poster, a new website, new event, or whatever happening, I'm just take a picture or just go to the website to see what the website is like. I'm always just curious. And so for music, I think it's the same story. And this has become almost like a key for me to discover new music. And frankly, I don't admire or don't value that much all these top 100 DJs lists or something like that. Because most of them, when I was saying, you know, I'm doing it seriously. So if I take a list, then I go through each of those DJs and I'm going to check if I like the music or not, but just by seeing what they're playing. Top 100 is not making me particularly happy, right? I just want to explore something that is really in my world in some way, and that also is surprising. Like, for example, there is this band that I will never be able to remember, of course, but there is this band that is also touring, I think, across Germany, because I think they're German, and they play techno music without electronic devices. So they take whatever they have. They take, I don't know, a chair, they take a stair, they take a book, they take, whatever they have in front of them, the cardboard, or anything like that, a table and things like that, and they find and kind of play a techno music, which sounds very much like techno music, just without any electronic devices at all. So it's all live and it's every time unique. When you look at it, it feels so weird. They just basically sit in the kitchen and they see what they have around them. They have knives and they have forks and have a tablecloth and whatever and things like that. And they would just play techno music, right? And so I rather find remarkable things like that, which are, again, this incredible commitment. I can just imagine how much effort it goes into preparing or putting together some soundtrack using no music devices at all, like nothing. I mean, except for maybe, I don't know, fork or knife, if they classify as music devices, right? So that's just impressive to me. And so this is why I'm more obsessed by looking into those things rather than, let's say, top hundreds or so as I'm exploring. But I would say, like, coming back to your question, I would say that what was really surprising to me is that there has always been this connection, a quite obvious connection to me, to techno music in one way or the other, because of a lot of artists coming from, of course, Germany and Berlin as well, right, especially. And I would just listen to a lot of them, like to a lot of them. And I discovered some which were really surprising and really moved me in another direction. As an example of that, one of the very few kind of concerts, I would say, that changed my life. Like, the one was in Luxembourg and by Prodigy. I will never forget that. This was my first experience of Prodigy live in 2004, maybe, or 3. By the way, it's a funny story because we went with friends to Luxembourg because I was living next to France at the time with my parents. And we went to Luxembourg and we didn't book any hotel because we didn't have any money. And so we were expecting that the concert would be lasting not too long, right? So, I don't know, 2.5 hours maybe max. So we'd be able to pick up the last bus and then come back, right? Well, that didn't happen because they actually went way longer. And then we had to wait for the bus until, like, that would, I think, arrive around 6:30 a.m. in the morning. It was very cold in Luxembourg. And we were basically just trying to keep ourselves somehow reasonably warm by playing cards or so whole night. But this enormous energy that I experienced then in Luxembourg was absolutely unbelievable. And so I went to another concert, which was then very different, but it was maybe years later, which was a band that's called Extra Welt or Extra World. And I think I accidentally stumbled upon them at some point in the internet somewhere. And this is, again, more the minimal, but also beautiful and kind of melodical techno music as well. And when I was there, it feels like I'm really, really in a magical place. It doesn't give you necessarily energy, right? But it just makes you fly. And so that's sort of a different experience. And I would listen to also one single recording from them as they were playing in Berlin, by the way, in 2006. I mean, they've been around now for, I don't know, 20, 25 years. Tons of new albums, I think, and so on and so forth. If I listen to them, I always listen to that live set from 2006, which I can also link to in the references here, which is still, for me at least, the best. It doesn't mean I have to stay and listen to it all the time, but if I want to listen to Extrovert, I will listen to that specific thing. Although I probably have listened to everything else as well to just experiment and figure it out. But there are always those moments. They're like anchors in my life. I never remember when I discovered them, but they keep following my life in some way or the other. And I think that I have an enormous appreciation for those artists. And so sometimes I would actually buy tickets, although I know I will never be able to go there because they're in a different country or the timing doesn't work. But I would buy tickets because I think they have no idea how much they've given to me in terms of support, in terms of energy, in terms of motivation, in terms of just appreciation, I guess, as well, of the work that they're doing. And so I have a couple of tickets that I just keep almost like a record, I guess, right? That I was kind of almost there, but I wasn't.
That's beautiful. I came to electronic music and specifically techno, I would say probably at an older age. I was very much into rock music and indie rock. And I always looked down on electronic music because no, this is not real music, right? This is just someone pressing a button. Obviously, I've learned since. I'd love to hear your thoughts or maybe even recommendations, not necessarily of your favorites, but artists or specific albums even that you would recommend someone who is thinking, you know what, I'd like to give this techno thing a try. What would be some of those things that you think would draw them in?
Yeah, so I would love to link to them directly in the notes here. I would say that those things that I mentioned, depending on what you like, right, you can probably move in very different directions. Because for example, what I did mention, of course, that once you get into techno music and you keep exploring, eventually you'll be exploring drum and bass. And there are moments in my life where I feel like there is, for example, in the UK, there is drum sound, bassline Smith. It's just so much energy. So whenever I go like on a bike, oh, this is it. I'm turning it on. Either Prodigy or if I want to go all the way, then it would be that. And it gives me so much energy. This is just unbelievable. But that's, again, a bit more the side there, right? But if I look, let's say, at the side of like techno music, then I would probably go into the Belgian techno music and explore it. There are a lot of artists in there all circling around the label called Exhale, which I highly recommend personally. But on the other hand, of course, if you like more melodic techno, right? Then, of course, somebody like Paul Kalkbrenner in Germany or Warhols, of course, would be very much in order, although they are very, very different. Very, very different. This would be kind of my recommendations. But I would say that sometimes I find absolutely remarkable and joyful moments just by finding absolutely unknown people who just happen to do good things. And this is just speaking to other people who stumbled upon something. And very often people will be shazamming things here and there, and you would see like this artist, this track was played 320 times in the last month. What? How can it be, right? And it just keeps you going. So for me, sometimes it's more about that exploration and discovery and figuring out something that I apparently like or don't like, right? That really keeps me going as well. The only thing is, if you explore something new, I can't work at the same time. That's a bit of an issue. So if I'm stumbling upon the music that I'm not sure will I like it or not, so I keep playing it, and then I need to always switch and go somewhere else and explore some other music in order to keep working. So when I'm working, I need to have something that is maybe a little bit more familiar, but then I always have this moment where I just need to explore. I'm just going to look up, okay, what is happening and who is playing and what are they playing and what is it like and all. And this is why it's actually quite strange, but sometimes I would speak to, you know, younger people like work colleagues and all, and I would know what they're listening in techno music, but they would not know those things that I've listened to then 15, 20 years ago. But of course, I will not be, for example, for a very long period of time, please don't blame me, everyone. I literally didn't know. I think up until maybe last year, I literally didn't know who Taylor Swift is. I had absolutely no idea, right? Because this is kind of not really my world. Now I do. There's lots of you who are throwing stones at me. I'm okay now.
One more question. You listen to a lot of music while you work, when you're at home, and you go to shows, you go to concerts, you see live music. How are the two different modes of listening to music affect you differently?
Oh, this is such a good question, Guy. I think when I'm working, the music almost becomes partially invisible. when I'm at a concert, the music is very much visible, right? And this is where I'm literally listening to it, right? If I had to remember the moments when I was listening to music, I would probably find it difficult. If I had to remember the moments when I went to a concert, I would remember it vividly. I think one of the last most memorable experiences, almost cinematic experience that I had, was in Justice. Justice when came, I mean, they did a tour around Europe, and they are also from Paris, and they, every now and again, they put up a new album, and then they turn it into literally a cinematic experience, which means enormous amount of lighting, enormous amount of everything happening within the area where you are. And they had this tremendous concert where I couldn't believe it. It was just, again, it's the same feeling, like this is so much love that was put into this, and thought and care and desire to create a very special experience. And yet in the end, if I'm really thinking about this, what I really appreciate most is this desire, because ultimately musicians are designers in my world. What I mean by that is, well, they're designing this cinematic musical audio experience and guide people through it and connect parts of it, and they have a storytelling part of it, and they need to have a good entry, they need to have a good outro, and they create these memories and experiences around us. And so this moment for, like, with the Justice again, it was so memorable. I think that I would probably remember the most concerts I went to, but this is mostly because of that experience. You're there in a moment, and you're there like 1.5 hours, and you're really absorbed into this passion and desire and people and everything. While if you're sitting in front of your machine and you're working, it's a bit different because it just supports you and kind of brings you to places, but it doesn't elevate me to the level necessarily, because I'm, I guess I'm listening to a lot of same music, right, all the time, if I need to get in flow mode, compared to the cinematic experience that I would get in an actual performance, which I experience live. I always remember every single live performance, live concert that I've ever been to. I think that this is always a very, very special moment for me.
That's awesome. Vitaly, where can people find you?
Well, I'm everywhere. I think, well, not everywhere, but I'm trying to be, well, I guess, on LinkedIn somehow. I ended up getting a spot on LinkedIn somehow. So every time I'm posting things, usually it will go on LinkedIn, but I also have a newsletter and stuff like that. Maybe eventually. I'm really working on this, but I'm really so bad at planning those things. I'm hoping that I will be publishing more things on YouTube and just video stuff. We'll see. But also you can find me wonderful podcasts like Guy Siegel's podcast, I heard. So that's usually a good thing, but I'm trying to be there. So if anybody wants to reach out to me, please do reach out to me. I'm not one of those people who is hiding behind an email address and never replies. I try to reply as much as I can.
That is absolutely true. Thank you so much for joining us, Vitaly.
Thank you so much, Guy. It's been a pleasure. If anybody is interested in techno music or anything else, please, I don't know, send me a request or something, or just a message. I can definitely bring you to hundreds of different worlds, depending on what you like.
This is all for this episode of Design Downtime. Thank you for joining me, and until next time, I hope you enjoy your downtime.